Hi. Before we start this episode, I wanted to give you a little information about what you're about to hear. The following is a preview of a brand new podcast that I will be launching with Danielle Simone Brand at the end of the summer. The podcast is called Heal You, Feed You, Kill You. And it's not only kid-friendly, it's kid-encouraged. It's a podcast meant to foster conversations, spark curiosities, and change perceptions around the fascinating intersection of plants and health. So stay tuned because we will be airing our very first official episode at the end of summer. Take a listen and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by Danielle Simone Brand, and we're doing something a little different for this episode. It is actually a preview of our currently untitled project, TBD podcast. We know what the concept is, which we will touch on more later, but we don't have a title yet, so stay tuned for that. But anyway, we felt like this message had to begin some point, right? We had to get this started. So we're putting this out there and hoping that we get some kind of feedback from listeners and let us know, you know, what more you'd like to hear in the future. And this podcast preview, I feel, is aligned with the Getting Personal with Plant Medicine audience, I should say, because that's what we'll be talking about. So plant medicine is rapidly becoming normalized through legalization and social media. And every media platform or publishing company or social media app is filled with content about those curious about herbalism and alternative therapies. But there isn't a lot out there on how to discuss plant medicine in a way that doesn't stem from prohibition, on how to discuss plant medicine with children, that is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's really where we need to begin. We need to start with the young ones.
Yeah, we really do. You really do, because, you know, like, they're going to be the ones carrying the message forward and, you know, making the policies and living on this earth in the future.
Right. It sounds cliche, but I guess it's not, considering some people are literally running political campaigns against the younger generation. So it is valid, right?
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And you actually wrote a short guide about that in the newest issue of Canna Curious Magazine. And in that piece, you pointed out that finding a place to start can be challenging.
Yeah, it can. You know, like, I talk to people, you know, especially women and moms a lot, who were like, I just don't know how to have that conversation, or when it should happen, or, you know, exactly how much detail I should go into. And, you know, they're, you know, usually talking about cannabis, but plant medicines in general, I think, you know, that it applies to so many things. Yeah. Mushrooms that many of us are incorporating in our everyday lives. And, you know, it's a lot of plants out there that we use, psychoactive and not. But, you know, we still have to talk about it. I think you have to start somewhere, and, you know, it's going to look different just depending on your kids' ages and, you know, where you live, obviously.
And your own knowledge,
how you use the plant. Like, you know, if you're a medical consumer who's consuming daily multiple times a day, and it's a much bigger part of your life than just sort of after work once in a while, that looks different too. So I think there's just a lot of factors involved, and you know, something that's a big topic to explore.
It's a big topic. It's complex. We don't have any definitive answers just yet. We would like to stress that point right now.
That's right.
But, you know, it's all about finding something to start the conversation, like you've said. So for me, books are a big help when it comes to myself learning things, but yeah. also when I'm talking to my son about it. And, you know, I think that it is hard to find the right one, right? Like there's no book. There's not one book that you can find that's like, this is the answer to. Well, I'm saying that that's a broad stroke. There might be a book out there that goes over every single plant and herb in existence, but you know, that could be a hefty tome, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
Let's start with A.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like how to start those conversations. I think you're right. Like books are wonderful. It's like, you know, that's just an easy segue into a topic or a conversation. And I did write about this for Canna Curious magazine, as you mentioned. So, you know, books like in the cannabis space, like in the last couple of years, we've had a number of books come out to help educate kids and help start these conversations. So It's Just a Plant is the classic mm-hmm. by Ricardo Cortez. Do you have that one? Have you read it with your son?
Yes, I have. I mean, I don't have it, but I have read it.
Yeah.
I've read
yeah.
the digital copy, I should say.
Same.
But, yeah.
But, you know, I think that was like for a while, that was like the one that people turned to if they knew, if they, you know, had access to it, to start that cannabis right. conversation with kids. And then more recently, we've had The Root Family's Very Special Garden by Ms. Kindness Ramirez and Why Mommy Gets High by Wendy Brazil. And, you know, both of them are, you know, they're a little different. Like Ms. Kindness's book is more focused on like education. There's a glossary in the back, you know, terminology when it comes to cannabis, kind of like the growing and, you know, curing and creating products, process, but, you know, in a kid-friendly way. And then Why Mommy Gets High is literally an explanation of why, you know, of why Wendy Brazil, when she was a mom of younger children, she now has grown children, but she tells in this like whimsical and, you know, rhyming kind of way, like the ways that it actually helped her be more, you know, of a present and patient and creative mom. And, you know, I talk about that too. That's real in my world. I also, you know, use cannabis for medicinal benefit, and it helps me just be a better parent because it helps me live with less pain. But, you know, I love that perspective of like, you know, it helps me relax and be in the moment. And that's something that's important for parents too. So all those books are interesting and definitely worth checking out if you've got little kids.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's about trying to start from the beginning. Like we're not even in the area of medicine quite yet because my son doesn't fully understand that concept quite yet. So I found some books in the library. Here's one called The Ways I Help in the Garden. And I really like this one because I'll have it linked in the show notes for the record. Yeah. But I like this one because it shows, and it has little chapters, how cute, helping dad. And it's like how I help dad in the garden, plant seeds, and it has illustrations, and the dad kind of looks like my husband. And it talks Dude. About growing the cucumbers and things like that. And, you know, how it basically is a very redundant there. it's a really cute illustration of how the plants become become medicinal, but become food, which is also medicinal. So yes, both mm-hmm. both of those things. And then I found a Nat Geo Kids one about plants, and this one is a little bit more advanced, but it talks about leaves and the desert and like the shapes of the leaves and the roots and all of that. I also use a lot of songs with my son. There are several YouTube channels out there, but we really like, there's a couple that we really like that talk about photosynthesis, chlorophyll, you know, the weather and how it affects the plants. So, for me, that's what I use. But then I also have to start thinking about older kids as well, because it's not like I never come into contact with older children. So I am still searching for some books that are for like that would be good for older children to read, about plant medicine, about plants in general.
Yeah, I mean, if you find them, let me know because yeah, my kids are 10 and 13, and my 10-year-old is my daughter, and she and I are interested in rituals and witchy stuff and also gardening, so there's a lot of, interplay between those things. And I've found some good witchy books for her age, like or just so like a little bit older, and she can kind of, identify, read up, as they say. But and some of them have like some interesting glossaries or, about herbs, about various plants that you would use in ritual, as well as like descriptions of how to do them. But, really about plants and, sort of like the concept of the way that we use plants differently for older kids. I think that that's something I haven't come across yet. I was going to add actually that, and when my kids were younger, we subscribed to this the service where they mail you a book once a month through, it's called PJ Library. It's a Jewish organization basically for literacy and for Jewish education. And we are, Jewish. We're also, Buddhist and pagans and, yoginis over here. But we do have that heritage in our family on my husband's side. And the cool thing about Judaism to me actually is how agriculturally attuned it is. And so there are festivals about the harvest and the first fruits in the spring and various like moments of the agricultural calendar. And that would like come in pretty strongly to these children's books that like I think establish the sense of, just like paying attention to the seasons and to the plants and how they can play a part in your like ritual life as well as your like, your actual life.
That's a really great service. I want to look into that now, but I'm not, I don't know.
It's really cool. They just send you a cool children's book every month, and they have themes of kindness and inclusion and good stuff.
I love that.
Yeah.
And also with the older children, I think it might go without saying, but we're going to say it anyway, television, right?
Yep.
That's the easiest way for me to be able to be like, well, that is not accurate. Okay. That right there is not how it will play out for you. Because, I mean, how else are you? Also, because I tend to watch things that maybe teens might watch sometimes.
Shows are great. Like now that you mention it, cannabis references do come up in shows that I watch with my kids here and there. I think as I mentioned on Your Highness podcast that we've been watching Mythic Quest, this show that's, like it's TV-14, so it's a little bit like above my kids, but it's not really inappropriate and it's more just like language once in a while. But some of the situations, like I do feel like I want to help contextualize for them, and I think that's a good thing, helping them understand sort of like potentially adult situations with a little context. But anyway, cannabis comes up from time to time, weed comes up from time to time, and my kids totally get the weed references because I write about it and it's a big part of my life and stuff, and they hear me talking, to people, to friends and whatnot. And yes, I also have the opportunity sometimes to be like, oh, what a stereotype. Like that was really, not something that is reflective of most cannabis consumers that I know or of me. And, we get to kind of like unpack it a little. So
Yeah,
it's a good thing.
and another good thing is that there are a lot of like cooking competitions. I'm seeing cannabis infused in so many different types of programming. We have the cooking shows, we have the growing shows now. There's that one with Jim Belushi. I haven't watched it, but I just saw it pop up when I was scrolling through things. Like, okay, so now, I mean, pretty much we're covering almost every area on TV, except for how to talk to your children.
Except for how to talk to your children. I think there's more we could do on TV, and I'm hoping to actually do it. I
Yeah.
think I think we can have deeper conversations, you know, and further the general public and the kind of curious public and maybe even like the cannabis consumers' knowledge of the, you know, the plant and its context and how we can like create a better future with it. And
Right.
yeah, I mean,
Because,
I think, yeah, we can explore more.
I mean, cannabis is a heavy consideration for us, as well as other psychedelics. But just even thinking about how we grew up, right? There was not a lot of conversation about anything that wasn't deemed safe, other than here's a sticker, don't touch that, right? You remember those stickers, those poison control stickers? My
Skull
family
and
had those on
crossbones.
everything. And instead of explaining, like, maybe, you know, don't drink this because it could kill you, it's just don't touch that if you see that sticker. Like, that sticker was doing a lot of work. Right.
That's true. That's true. And yeah, I mean, last I checked, stickers aren't great parents.
Mean, they'll keep them entertained for a little while, but.
I think, yeah, it's a blunt instrument to just like stick a sticker on things and be like, yes, you know, that is a symbol. It's and I guess it serves a purpose, but I think we can have a more nuanced conversation, you know, like, I mean, it's a whole the whole conversation in of itself, how cannabis should be labeled, right, on the legal marketplace, like that you're supposed to have child-resistant packaging in most places, as well as labeling that clearly indicates that it's not for children and that THC is present. But yeah, I think there are lots of different ways to do that and
And the
how we.
conversation, not to cut you off, but just to think about that a little bit, you know, people think having childproof packaging is just enough, right? I shouldn't say people, that's broad stroking again, but there are some people who feel like the childproof aspect is only pertains to keeping it out of their reach. And to me, it's about educating them, you know, and showing them what you're using and having them understand, even if you're not consuming around them. Having them understand why you consume and why they can't yet is a major hole in the education portion of this, I feel.
I agree. I agree. It's, you know, it's a nuanced conversation. It's one that like changes as kids get older. I mean, we have an interesting perspective because your child is younger than my children, and I've had like, you know, some years to have these conversations sort of little by little, like pepper it in. And I do think that's important, is that, you know, like you don't wait until you think, oh my God, it's almost too late. And then you sit down and you're like, here's all you need to know, blah. Like,
Here's a
you
book,
know,
read
like,
it.
yeah, like a lot of important conversations. You know, I talk about this a lot. It's not a one and done. It's more of a like, let's, you know, just take little opportunities to have. To share a bit of information, to ask some questions, maybe to answer some questions. It doesn't have to be like a big deal. It doesn't have to be a sit down, like scary conversation. And, you know, like I think that's true about so many things.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of it also comes from a place of fear, right? The conversations we have are stem from fear a lot of times. We don't want our child to overdose on something. We don't want our child to put themselves in danger. We don't want to lose custody of our child. We don't want people to brand us as bad parents, but so a lot of that, I feel, fuels the conversation. And so even if you are extremely plant friendly and you use plants in all aspects of your life, you might still be a parent who's not willing to immerse your child into that world because you're coming from a place of fear.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think that prohibition and criminalization specifically, and then of course all the misinformation around prohibition and the war on drugs just intensified that fear. You know, we're gonna need some time and some normalization, I think, to get over that. And you're right. Like, I think that it's easier in a sort of knee-jerk reflexive kind of way to educate our kids about things that we want them to be careful of by scaring them, because we're, you know, sometimes it feels like that's the only thing that works, let's be
right.
honest.
And that's how we were raised. I mean, at least I was yes. raised. I was raised in a very fear-based household. So for me, it's like, even though I try to fight everything that I grew up with and what I was conditioned by, it still sneaks up on you a little bit, you know? And you're like, oh, wait a minute. There's that conditioning again.
Right. And to be honest, like, there are moments that as a parent of slightly older kids, I question, did I not instill enough fear about certain things in them because I was afraid to, you know, afraid, but because I was also trying to avoid that, you know, that fear-based like upbringing. I think there's a balance, and to teach kids respect, you know, respect is not, it doesn't mean cowering in fear or just, you know, like living fearfully. It means like understanding that some things can hurt you mm-hmm. and some things we have to have discernment,
right.
good judgment.
Yes.
And so teaching them to respect plans, I think, is one layer of that, one level of that.
Respect is a big part of it. I mean, that's pretty much how I'm trying to focus my education with my child. I'm trying to basically come from a respect point of view. Like,
yep.
you need to respect fire. You need to respect water. You need to respect all of the elements. They can be amazing. They can create so many cool things, but also, and so that's kind yes. of where I'm going with it, because I'm like, this is the only way it kind of works for my brain, because I come up with so many questions myself when I'm trying to educate him. I'm just like, how does he know that something's poisonous? How do I know that it's poisonous? Is mm-hmm. there another word we can use? And so, I mean, it's like you said, it's ever evolving. And I think that we don't have hard and fast answers. But one other way that we can really kind of expand the conversation is to grow things. If you have the ability to grow any type of plants, and even if you don't, taking your child to, you know, a garden center or just outside somewhere and showing them, you know, this is something you can't eat, but it does this, this, and this. And you're really good at that.
Well, I try. I mean, one reason is because I like to be outside and I like to garden and that sort of thing. And I realize that it's a privilege to have like some outdoor space where I get to garden. And I used to do it on windowsills for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, I live in a less desirable state for the for the privilege of having a yard and
yeah.
some space around us, you know. But anyway, so we have a decent flower garden and my kids help me out there. We have a decent veggie garden in the summers. We grow raspberries, lots of raspberries. They're, you know, going to come in pretty soon here. I'm excited. So, you know, in that process, and I do, you know, quote unquote, make them do yard work and garden. It's more of a chore for my son, like just something he needs to like, you know, tick off and then get to the rest of his Sunday usually. And for my daughter, if she's in the right mood, she enjoys it because she, you know, she's a nature girl and likes to watch the butterflies and, you know, is a little bit more like interested in chilling and watching than doing, but she'll do too. She definitely does. So, you know, so in that context of spending time outside and also going hiking and getting out in other ways, we have a river in our city that's really, really beautiful and has a walking path on both sides that we go to pretty frequently. So, you know, in all of this, like we do end up talking about plants as different things. So plants as food, plants as medicine, plants as food for animals and homes and shelter for animals, you know, something of beauty, obviously, that like that contributes to our enjoyment of the world and our well-being, you know, and medicine. And some of that medicine is stuff that my kids can access right now, like, you know, mint for their upset tummies. And my daughter likes to make me a little sachet of basil when I travel because it's good for protection.
Aww, that's so cute.
It's super cute.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, do you have your basil with you, you know, when I'm leaving for the airport and I have to have it? Sometimes I'm like, oh, I have this little, like, sachet of dried herbs, but I hope I don't get stopped. It's basil, I swear. But you know, yeah, and other things, other little herbs that we grow are things that I talk about as being, you know, very accessible and very, you know, safe as plant medicine. My daughter likes to talk about the coconut oil that we have in the kitchen as like, she's like, it's so safe that you could just like give a whole bunch of it to a baby and they couldn't do anything with it. They could put it in their mouth, they could put it in their hair, they could put it in their eyes. Like, it's great, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, coconut oil is very safe. So, you know, but then there are other plants that we are need to be much more cautious of or much more respectful of. And, you know, I love mushrooms, but the mushrooms that grow randomly in my yard, I can't identify and I don't know enough about to tell my kids it's totally fine to like, you know, handle them or anything.
Side note, you just made me think of
Yeah.
something I just learned. If you take a picture of a plant with your iPhone, at the very bottom of it will have a little eye icon, like for information, and you can click on that and it will tell you the species of the plant.
Really? That's so
Yes.
cool. Okay,
I
I'm gonna
know.
try it because I love to. I have some plant identification apps that are not always correct, so I'm
Right,
gonna
same. I know
try.
I don't have a lot of luck with the plant identifying apps, but I've had
Me
better
neither.
luck
Yeah.
with this photo.
Okay.
I was like,
Okay.
wow.
And so, species of mushrooms too. Do you
It
think
says
they're?
all plants, and I've tested it out. I have a weird mushroom growing in my Dracianas soil, but I've been
Yeah.
told that it was a means that it's healthy soil, so I'm like, okay. But
That's
yeah, it
great.
showed me that and showed me some of the other plants I had in my house that were mislabeled. So,
Okay, I will give
yeah.
that a shot. I don't
Right.
know if I'd rely on it mushroom wise
Right,
yet,
yeah.
in terms of like, let's pick this and eat it,
Yeah,
but
exactly.
but it would be interesting. I would like to learn more about mushroom identification. I've been writing a bit more about mushrooms, and gosh, there's so many varieties. And they're pretty interesting. As Paul Stamets says, right? Mushrooms can heal you, they can feed you, and they can kill you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the truth about plants.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I was going to say and hemp, but then I was like, can hemp kill you? I mean, maybe someone could use it to kill you. Hemp rope.
As we veer into the true crime part of the podcast, hemp rope, murder weapon.
Right. But, you know, anyway, this just kind of further illustrates the fact that there are a lot of plants to talk about, and there are a lot of ways to talk about them. There are spirits, plant spirits. This is something that I've always kind of known on some level, but have only recently started to delve into. And so that's what this podcast is about, right? Like, that's basically the gist of it. But I'm going to let you tell us a little bit more because you do it more beautifully.
Do I now? Well, let's see. Well, Diana and I conceived of this podcast really to demystify conversations about plants and, you know, their many uses in our lives, including very much including plant medicine. And that's a broad umbrella that we use to describe cannabis, of course, and mushrooms, both functional, medicinal, psychedelic mushrooms, lots and lots of different psychedelic plant medicines that we have out there. And you know, we're in a moment where there's a real awakening of interest, a renaissance of interest in plants as, you know, definitely food. There's, you know, plant-based diets are very trendy on one hand, and then plant medicines as well. So we think that, you know, from our perspective as journalists and as moms, this is a great moment to have these conversations to help shape, you know, give more parents confidence about having these conversations and help positively shape the next generation's view.
Absolutely. And we will be bringing in some really cool people to help us have those discussions. So
Yes.
stay tuned. And let us know if you have any
Absolutely.
questions because, you know, we want to answer them as best as possible. And we're always looking for ideas, but we have plenty of our own as well. So, except for an
Absolutely.
idea on what to title it, but we'll get there.
Right. Right. So far untitled. Also, our kids might make an appearance and give weigh in a little bit, give some of their
Yes,
perspective.
absolutely. This is going to be a kid-friendly podcast. I'm going to say that right now.
Okay, I will have to remember that and censor myself once in a while.
That's okay. That's why we have editing, okay?
Perfect.
And if we have any episodes that we need warning, we'll definitely do that. But the idea is that, and obviously it might be older children until, we figure things out a little more.
That's
Anyway.
right. We are family friendly here.
Yeah, family friendly. But that might mean something different for us than it does for other
Good point. Good
Anyway.
point.
Oh
We
my
think plant
goodness.
medicine is family friendly because it should be.
Yes, exactly. There you go. That's it. That's the tagline. So before
Awesome.
we end this episode, why don't you just tell people where they can find you and how they can best support you? I'll have links in the notes just for the record, but if you just have anything you want to throw out there before we end.
My website is the best way to reach out personally. It's DanielleSimoneBrand.com. And on Instagram, I'm at DanielleSimoneBrand. And that's it for the moment. I
Right.
mean,
Yeah.
I've got other things. Let's just leave
Yeah. Thank
at
you. All right.
that. Thank you so much.
This episode of Your Highness Podcast is brought to you by MitraGaia.com. MitraGaia.com is giving listeners a 10% off discount when they use the code YHPOD. That's YHPOD at MitraGaia.com, a top-rated kratom company. Also, you can keep up on the recent events and all the news surrounding our show by subscribing to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter. This episode was edited and produced by James Crash and myself, Diana Crash, and is a production of Your Highness Media. Intro music is brought to you by Your Mom Likes My Music. Thank you for listening.